Thank you because every life will be touched. Thank you because we receive your word with simplicity. We thank you because your word will bless our hearts. And our hearts are set to receive from you. And our lives will never remain the same. Glory be to you. Sweet Holy Spirit, take charge. Take absolute control over this meeting right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. Our helper, our strengthener, our guide. Glory to your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let me use this medium to say a big thank you to the pastorate for this opportunity once more. We say God bless you, sirs. Amen. Tonight we'll be looking at God's word. Let me use this medium to share. My younger brother he sent a message to me, and it was talking about how in the morning he really doesn't pray. He would just simply utter some words like "Thank you, Jesus," and just set out for the day. Just "Thank you, Jesus," and just set out for the day. But he has learned to pray by virtue of what happened to him. I didn't even know. Nobody told me. He was kidnapped for about three days, right? 3 days, yes. He's based in India, and he said somebody was kidnapped, and despite all the efforts, he tried to make people see the signs and all that. In fact, some women, there's a place where women always pass. That's where the window of the room where he was kept was. And then he was trying to give signs. So the women were saying that somebody's crying from that room. And that alone could have made those who kidnapped, say, eight heavy men. That alone is enough to make them kill him. But he said, when we talk about testimonies, he has experienced a raw testimony. And that, you know what that means, for someone to be kidnapped and then for the person to get released. He said it's still a miracle. He's like, is this really true that he never knew that God loved him so much? I said, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Praise the Lord. That's someone who became a Muslim and got born again. And he's experiencing God's raw grace upon his life. Amen. It's good that we keep praying for our loved ones. Hallelujah. So tonight we'll be looking at product of grace. Hallelujah. Product of grace. Hallelujah. Tell someone next to you, you are a product of grace. You are a product of grace. You do know you are God's chosen one for the now. Hallelujah. You are chosen of God for the now. We're going to be looking at some people in the scriptures. In the light of God's word, we're going to be seeing some people who were handpicked by God in their time for a purpose. And that was the time of old. Now, he has freely given us unconditionally. Everyone has been given this same mandate. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Our anchor text is from Jeremiah chapter 1. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, from verse 5. Okay, let me take it from 4. He said, the Lord's message came to me. It is Jeremiah speaking. The Lord's message came to me. Before I made you in your mother's womb, I knew you. Hallelujah. I knew you. Before you were born, I chose you for a special work. I chose you to be a prophet to the nations. Then I said, but Lord, God, I don't know how to speak. I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, don't say I am only a boy. You must go everywhere I send you and say everything I tell you to say. Don't be afraid of anyone. I am with you and I will protect you. This message is from the Lord. Hallelujah. This is God speaking to Jeremiah. Every one of us seated here tonight, God knew you. God knew you. He had a relationship already with you, even before you were born by your mother. So your life didn't just start when you were born. Something took place even before you were born. Hallelujah. We were told by science, we were told that, you know, the story, the human story, that before a woman conceives, when a man and a woman meet, there is a race that takes place out of the thousands of we need to go back to biology now. Spermatozoa, right? Out of the thousands of sperms, there is one that finally gets in. First, that's the first place where you won. Hallelujah. So life is a race. Amen. And then the other one, we're told that the other ones, they die after one gets in. Praise the Lord. So you didn't get here by mistake. You didn't get in by mistake. That you were the chosen one means something. There is something you carry. There's something about you. There's something that's so special about you. And that's why there are no two you. There are no two people like you. Exactly like you. No. Even twins, they are different. Hallelujah. I remember someone asked me once, how do you differentiate your twins? I'm not talking of my children. I'm not talking of Daisy and this. I'm not talking of them. No, this is not Wari and Kewe. I have younger ones, two brothers, twins, following me. If they come here and they stay behind me, they don't necessarily need to be here. When they talk, I know their voices. I can differentiate white from bright. Yes. If you see them, very identical. Very identical. But when they talk, I can tell this is bright talking. This is white talking. There was a time that something happened and someone walked up to one of them, white, and said, ah, you didn't bring back my textbook. And he said, ah, it's not me. He was dragging him. He said, the other one just talked from behind. He said, it's me. See your textbook here. And the guy, like, he looked at that one and looked at it and said, they are so identical. But as identical as they are not the same. They are not the same, and they can never be the same. Praise the Lord. Even while we're growing up, I found out that they have different traits. They have different traits. Bright can easily give you his things. White is very, very meticulous with his things. In fact, if Bright buys a new shirt today, White can wear it. But if White, even White old clothes, he will tell you that he has a way, you know the way, he has a way he will just, he has a way of keeping his things special. They are so special to him. He say, no, you have to take permission. And when he gives you, when he will collect it, there's a way he keeps his things. And now both of them are married. And sometimes when I hear some things and their wife will talk and I say, see what you do, see what you do, see what you do. You see, and that's just it. They are not the same. The wife was telling the other one that see your brother. Can't you be like a brother? I said, leave him. Well, you better leave him and enjoy him like this as he is. Praise the Lord. So, what I found out is that we all have our various personalities. Collins is different from Uche. And it's like that. They both might be tall, but I'm black, but they have different personalities. So if you approach Collins with the mindset that you will use to approach Uche, you will just be getting it wrong. But the funniest thing of it all is that God is so awesome. You see, despite the various personalities of each individual, there's a way he works with everyone. Amen. The way he will work with Pastor Muyiwa is absolutely different from the way he will work with Pastor BJ. Irrespective of their personalities, you will still see them do God's work. Should be they are both pastors. But they will do He will relate with them and they can still carry out God's work irrespective of their personalities. So we are different human beings. We are different. We have different personalities. But when it comes to being chosen of God, we can do God's work. I may be a sprinter. I am running. Another person is a carpenter. He will do the work as a carpenter. He doesn't stop you. Your traits, your profession, and whatever it is. Shebi, Jesus met some people by the riverside. They were catching fish. And he told them, he said, I want to make you fishers of men. And they followed him. First, meet a doorman by the riverside and tell him that you want to make him fishers of men. The man that is catching fish for a living. He won't even answer you. Amen. So I'm just saying this to say that God can work with anyone and everyone. And we've seen people, various people in the Bible who had excuses, just like Jeremiah. Jeremiah said, I'm only but a boy. Moses said, I'm a stammerer. I can't speak fluently. Everyone had excuses. But God, irrespective of their deficiencies, worked with every one of them. God used every one of them. Hallelujah. If it was today, people like Jesus, I'm talking about his physical birth, situation surrounding his physical birth, they will still have excuses. They will still have excuses. Because before they will talk, someone will see something to slam them. Is it not you that they gave birth to yesterday that I know here? Hallelujah. So God personalizes the call to fit every person's unique personality. Hallelujah. Let's see the book of Mark. Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 17. This was Jesus, like I just mentioned, by the riverside. Jesus said to them, come, follow me, and I will make you a different kind of fisherman. You will bring in people, not fish. So they immediately left their nets and followed Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's upgrade. They left their nets. They left looking for fish. And they followed Jesus because they were ready to catch men for God. That's giving themselves, yielding to the call of God, to allow themselves to be used of God. Hallelujah. Amen. May the Lord touch our heart to heed his call and to do that which he wants us to do always. Amen. Let's look at Exodus chapter 1. Exodus chapter 1, verse 22. It says, so Pharaoh gave this command to his own people. If the Hebrew women give birth to a baby girl, let it live. But if they have a baby boy, you must throw it into the Nile River. That was a decree. Why did that decree come? You'll find out now. Exodus, flip to chapter 2 of same book of Exodus. Chapter 2, verse 9. It says, the king's daughter said to the mother, take this baby and feed him for me. I'll pay you to take care of him. Okay, let's go back a little bit. Same Exodus chapter 2, let's take it from let me just take it from verse 1. It said, there was a man from the family of Levi who decided to marry a woman from the tribe of Levi. She became pregnant and gave birth to a baby boy. The mother saw how beautiful the baby was and hid him for 3 months. She hid him for as long as she could. After 3 months, she made a basket and covered it with tar so that it would float. Then she put the baby in the basket and put the basket in the river, in the tall grass. The baby's sister stayed and watched to see what would happen to the baby. Which baby are we talking about here? Moses. I hope you know. Just then, Pharaoh's daughter went to the river to bathe. She saw the basket in the tall grass. Her servants were talking beside the river. So she told one of them to go get the basket. The king's daughter opened the basket and saw a baby boy. The baby was crying and she felt sorry for him. Then she noticed that it was one of the Hebrew babies. The baby's sister was still hiding. She stood and asked the king's daughter, "Do you want me to go find a Hebrew woman who can nurse the baby and help care for it?" The king's daughter said, "Yes, please. Yes, please." So the girl went and brought the baby's own mother. The king's daughter said to the mother, "Take this baby and feed him for me. I'll pay you to take care of him." So the woman took her baby and cared for him. The baby grew. And after some time, the woman gave the baby to the king's daughter. The king's daughter accepted the baby as her own son. She named him Moses because she had pulled him from the water. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let me just read a little bit down from verse 11. It said, Moses grew and became a man. He saw that his own people, the Hebrews, were forced to work very hard. One day, he saw an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew man. Moses looked around and saw that no one was watching, so he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. Who told him that he was Hebrew? Who nursed him? You know, there's this strong bond between mothers and babies, especially from the point of breastfeeding. Hallelujah. You know that, right? Yes. And that's why we want to carry some babies. Even when the father wants to carry some babies sometimes, it's difficult. Because when that period when the baby is breastfeeding, all the baby wants is just leave me with my mama. That's just all the baby wants. So during that period, a lot of training, a lot of nursing, a lot of informations have been passed over to Moses. And he grew up knowing who he rightly was. He had to know. Because informations are passed. So, like we have been taught, when you are raising a child, what you say to the child matters a great deal. Praise the Lord. A child is growing in your presence. What you say to the child matters. If the child is going to fail or do well in life, it's also a function of what you are saying to the child. Hey, come here. You're too stubborn. Hey, come here. This is your head. Where and be like, hey, all those things you are saying, they are words. They are words that are sinking in. And as the child takes them in, when the child goes out, that is also what will reflect on the child. We were told a joke how a father went to school once and the child came home and told the father that everybody in class, they were calling him Edward. Edward is not the child's name, but because he has a big head, so everybody was calling him Edward, head boy, head everything, hammer, head of horror. They were calling him all manner of name, Edwin, this, that. So the boy came home and cried to the father. So the father went to his school and said, nobody should call my son Edward. His name is Michael. I named him Michael. Nobody should call him Edward. After the father finished, after warning the class, father said, Eddie Murphy, let us go. And the whole class burst into laughter. You can tell very well why that is happening to the boy. Because even the father himself, he joined the course, the boy. After you won the class, you call the boy Eddie Murphy, let's go. Tomorrow, if somebody calls the boy again, I'm ahead of horror. You can't say anything. So we should be mindful of the words we sow into the lives of our children. as they grow up, just like Moses' case, who told him, the mother must have told him, that this is your true identity. This is your true identity. So when you hold, you are preparing your child for school, or your wife is probably preparing your child for school, nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong in you carrying your child. I used to do that. And then you can speak into the child. Even as a father, as a mother, you can speak to the life of your child as to prepare that child for preschool or for school or whatever. It's not only to pray on their behalf. Even right there in their presence, you are a great nation. Let me tell you what I did or what I do. I go, even right now, in my farm, I go to my farm every morning and I speak to my birds. I have birds there that I'm nursing, that I'm raising. I speak to the birds. You are a special breed. You will not die. You will grow well. You are the envy of other poultry, of other farmers. Oh yeah, I begin to speak to them. You will live well. You will grow well. Because when they grow well, their price will be different. No? Hallelujah. I want good price. I want good money. So that when others are selling their chicken for 5,000, people can beg me to buy mine for 13,000. And I speak life to them. You have life. You grow well. You grow so that Mrs. Sashere can be smiling as she's counting the money. Hallelujah. So you can speak to the life of your child. You can speak to the life of your spouse. Sometime at night, I wake up in the night and I will lay my hands on my wife and I will pray and I will speak words. I will speak words. I go to my children's room and I will lay my hands on them and I will speak words over them. Hallelujah. It's good. Those decrees you are making is the same reason why your child, they said something happened, this part of school collapsed and the child is not there. Hallelujah. May our children always escape harm. Amen. So you can speak to the life of your child just as Moses' mother did. The boy knew that he was a Hebrew child. He knew his part to take. When time was ripe, he knew. He would not allow himself to be called an Egyptian. He knew who he was. So you can decree and declare concerning your child. You are a child of promise. You are a child of grace. You carry life. You have life in you. God's life is in you. No harm comes near you. No eyes of the evil ones will see you. Just like some of us. There are people who are afraid to go to their village. And now you want to instill that fear even in your children. I visited a family friend once. And I asked, when I know they go home, he said, no. I said, why? He said, even my papa said they fear to go to the village. So the children, they don't even want to hear that they want to. He said, so when you take a little bit, we stay Lagos. They don't go home. So the father is even afraid of where he's from. He don't want to kill you, they will not kill you since. Go to that village and declare, decree, nothing is happening. Nothing's going to happen. Because if you know who you are, hallelujah, I have life in me. The life I have is Christ. And no one can touch me. Hallelujah. Amen. Some people will say, cover, don't let anybody know you are traveling. I will let you know. If you are strong, go and wait me on the way. Anything you see, you take. Hallelujah. Amen. Same thing with Noah. Scripture tells us that a time came and the Lord gave Noah clear instructions. He said, do this and do this and do this. Get this and do this. Before his time, people were not using tar woods for anything. This same tar wood with which this basket was made. Because it makes it to float on water. God told him to get tar woods and make an ark. People must have been laughing at him and mocking him and saying all sorts of things. This man, are you sure you're aware? You're the only one that heard God. You're the only one that heard God. They must have said a lot of things. But because he knew that he's a product of grace, he knew what he heard. He knew the conversation he had with God. Hallelujah. May we hear him and hear him well. Hallelujah. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3. Okay, first let's look at Genesis, sorry. Let's look at Genesis. I just want to show us something. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis 6. Okay, from verse 9, this is the story of Noah's family. He was a good man and all his life, and he always followed God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. When God looked at the earth, he saw that people had ruined it. Violence was everywhere, and it had ruined their life on earth. So God said to Noah, everyone has filled the earth with anger and violence, so I will destroy all living things. I will remove them from the earth. Use cypress wood and build a boat for yourself. Make rooms in the boat and cover it with tar inside and out. This is the size I want you to make the boat. 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high. Make a window for the boat about 1 cubit below the roof. Put a door in the side of the boat. Make 3 floors in the boat, a top deck, a middle deck, and a lower deck. Hallelujah. I said it here before that. All my life, I'm not one of those when you count people that can draw. I don't draw. Even people like us, we dodge when they say, draw butterfly in school during exam. Draw whether house fly, dragon fly, or whatever fly. We dodge because I'm not part of those who can draw. So I understand very well when God was giving Noah clear instructions, so-and-so cubit high, so-and-so cubit wide, and this and that. It's something that, as God is telling you, you are taking instructions, you are writing, you are putting it down. The first time I will hit my chest and say, yes, I draw, and it corrects, was when I was building my poultry. God will wake me sometimes in the night, and yes, it was God, because it's when you are growing and you've not known what you should know. You say, something said to me. It's not something, it's the Spirit of God that's actually speaking to you, because only God will do that. He would wake me in the night, take pen, take cardboard, and I will go to the sitting room, and I will sit down on the light, and he will be giving me clear instructions, and I was drawing. I didn't need to go see any poultry. All that I drew there, when I bring it the next day, and I called the bricklayer, and I told him, see what I want. He said, Oga, I understand it very well. He will go duplicate it, bring his own copy, and that's what we have there. If you go in there, and you see the structure, you'll be amazed. We caught someone once, a professional who came around, looked at the measurement of the length and the width and everything, and he looked at it. When he measured, we've not seen a hot, deep, galvanized cage before. So we're going to put 2 sets of hot, deep, galvanized cage. They have their measurements. But when the guy measured the cage, he has the measurement of the cage. We've not seen the cage. But when he came and measured the length and the, what do you call it? The length and the breadth, is it? The length and the width. When he checked it, having the measurement of the cage, what we want there, the guy asked me, he said, Oga, who gave you this measurement? I said, he said, no, somebody gave you this measurement. I said, no, that's just what, because let's say this is what we did, right? After measuring what the 2 sets of cage would take, the side, the middle, and the other side around it were the perfect measurement. After that, it was just so perfect. I was not so surprised. I just said, Lord, thank you. Why? I heard well. That's what I just got. I heard well. Because if God is going to give you instruction, God is not going to do, what do you call it? God is not going to do guesswork. If he's telling you something, he knows what he's saying. And so you may be driving, and you just hear him speak to you and say, pull over. Then pull over. Why? You don't know what is ahead. He knows what's ahead. And it has happened to me. I was driving on top. I was traveling, we're traveling to Delta, and I just had in my spirit. My wife was in front, we're playing a gospel song, and we're praying in tongues as we're traveling. I said, I'm going to pull over. He said, what happened? I said, that's just what I had in my spirit. I said, okay. I just waited the next checkpoint after the, I just pulled over, stayed there for some minutes, came down to just walk around. I was just praying. When I had a release in my spirit, I entered the vehicle back and we started going. We were praying, we were still praying in tongues and we were going. Did I see anything? No. Do I know what would have happened? No. But only God knows what he has averted. And I'm cool with it. Someone will say, a foolish son will say, but I'm wasting time. These 30 minutes I used to spend here, or these 15 minutes I spent here, I would have reached Ore by now. What if you never even got to that place? What if something has happened? My friend was traveling with his new car. That was when we were giving a car. He was traveling from Lagos to Asaba. This guy was, when you say, you know, there are people that will carry you. You know, before somebody like Pastor Moyo will allow you to carry him or set man, then you know that you drive very well. There are people that will carry you. Do you know you can sleep? There are people that will carry you. It's like you are driving with them. you are driving with them. You are watching. You are telling them, hey, take it easy, you know. He drives very well. He's that kind of person. But guess what? He sent a picture of his car. The car is a total write-off. He ran into, one trailer or something, ran into him, and the car was a total write-off. They had to put this collar stuff for him and all that. It was just out of God's mercy that he didn't die. So, we also need to get to that point where we train our minds, train ourselves to learn to hear him clearly. To get to that point where we hear him, where we know he's talking to us. I know that, I want to tell my mind, want to tell me say. No, it's not wanting. We should know. The devil speaks too. So we should know. We should train ourselves to that point where we know this is God. We can clearly discern that this is God. And you can know. The devil will never tell you or give you, will never speak to you about anything that will amount to something good. Or anything that will glorify God. So you should clearly know. And if it doesn't tally, most times check it. You can check it. With God's word. When God's spirit speaks to you, there's always a word that you can match it with from scriptures. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Let's also look at some other people for lack of time. Let's look at some other people who were also product of grace. Who were also chosen by God, chosen of God, and used greatly of God. Hallelujah. We had the likes of Samuel. Samuel in the Bible. Remember how God was already angry with Eli. God was already angry with the prophet. And then he had to call Samuel. Samuel ran to Eli several times. And Eli said, if you hear that voice again, say, Lord, speak, for thy servant hears. I just pray we get to that point where we know, like we know, as we should really know, when God speaks to us. Nothing gladdens the heart of our Father when he talks to us clearly and we understand and we can run with what he's saying. That way we are able to save a lot of lives. That way we are able to save time. That way we are able to do a lot and redeem time. And for the kingdom's sake, we are able to do so much. I was sitting once in the vehicle and the Lord was telling me, he said, talk to that person. And you know, shame they catch me before to talk to someone and say, hey, I know no one more. Before I go here, you know the thing for somebody to say, and this guy was just toasting me in the vehicle. I say, talk to that person. What I did was I just started speaking, just praying in my spirit, I said, Holy Spirit, help me. I must do this. I know I will do it. And this was some years ago, and then I just want to say, you know, imagine the devil is wicked. You know, if you've ever had, maybe you don't, he speaks so, your heart, that's why you'll be having some things like argument in your heart. You will now hear something like, not just try yourself, don't just embarrass yourself. Know that it's the devil. Because God wants you to talk to that person, probably evangelize to the person. And the devil will say, they will just give you a name that is not your own now. He doesn't want you to talk to the person because he doesn't even want you to get this person saved. Somebody was sharing with me this morning. I went to visit a sister and he was saying, she mentioned one of the pastors, one of the trainers in a Bible school that I attended, and he said, you know Reverend so-so-so? I said, yes. He said, he was my classmate. He said, he is the reason why I'm still in the faith today. I said, really? She said, yes. He said, in campus, he will say, I will never, if for anything, I will never let the devil have you. You must stand strong. You must remain in God. He said, and he's the reason why I am still, because the effort the guy put in on campus to make sure that she stays fervent is what's still stirring, what's still keeping at it today. Praise the Lord. I pray that testimonies like that will be spoken about us. Amen. And so I turned to the lady and said, I greeted her, good morning. I heard that voice again. I said, Nana, you greet her. Since one a day for motor since. Nana, you said you greet her. But I just ignored and I started and said, how are you? What's the name? And I started talking. I gave out, I shared something with her and all that. She was happy. And guess what? When we stopped by, we always stop halfway to eat. Some people will go eat themselves and all that. And then when we're entering the vehicle back, and she said, thank you. She said, where she's going, she needed to hear this to help her where she's going. She's going home to meet her family, and there's something on ground that she just needs to hear this. Praise the Lord. And I said, well, glory be to God. God always needs people. As you are here, God can use you even in your own homes. Amen. Your own homes. He can do it. So imagine that something is happening in pastor's house and pastor would need to call somebody else to come pray in his house. No. You too can do that. You just take charge and tell the devil, my friend, will you get out from here? Send him away and take charge. Take charge over your environment, your home. Praise the Lord. We've seen the story of Noah. What about Joseph? Several times when God is going to do some things or use you to do some things, it's not going to show you the entire picture. Just start. Put your feet down. Put your legs in the water. Just start. And then it will keep growing. It will keep going from step to step. If I had seen all it would take to build that poultry there, I for not start. But he just kept unveiling one stage to another, to the point that one day we just looked at it like, wow, how did we get this far? That's it. You think God showed Joseph that they were going to throw him in the pit? The guy for not even bother tell his brother, say, I saw you all bowing down to me. If for not bother, now me they go kidnap, put for. He said, no, he will not for not bother. So you may not see the whole picture. You don't necessarily need it. Just start where you are. It begins with you telling somebody in your compound, hey, hello, Jesus loves you. Simple as that. It could be in school. It could be in class. It could be at the workplace. Jesus loves you. God is good. Once you start with that, someone was sharing with us, there's a family we went to visit. And the person said how something like this that we're talking about, so simple as that. No wonder the Bible says, let your words be seasoned. You know why? It ought to be a blessing always to someone around. But if it's full of cursing, you will be destroying. Imagine Jesus, as powerful as Jesus is, if he was going around and just cursing, the whole earth will be destroyed now. That's how you are. He said, the Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians 5:19-21. Said, we are ambassadors. And we are here for this purpose. He has given us a mandate. So everywhere we go, we ought to be like Christ, preaching his word and declaring. Everywhere we go, call people blessed. Do good. Call people blessed. Share testimonies. Talk about God's love. About his goodness. Share his word. Because you are blessing your environment. You are blessing your nation. You are blessing lives around you. You are giving people reasons to thank God. And so the family went to visit. The lady was just sharing. She said, something happened out of nowhere. She had no hope. But one of those words, she just picked it and ran with it. And guess what? A mighty testimony came out of it. A mighty testimony that when she was sharing, I was amazed myself. She was just sharing. And glory be to God. And that's it. That's it. As she was sharing, the husband also was sharing. And that's it. Just one tiny little word. Our words, they have power. Because we are product of grace. You are a product of grace. Touch yourself and say, I am a product of grace. I am a product of grace. I will speak rightly at all times. Yes, everywhere we go, we need to speak right. God did not show Joseph that there's trouble in Potiphar's house waiting. No. That's part of the process he had to go through. Hallelujah. And that was why when he met his brothers at last, what did he tell them? He said, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I'm just following the true picture that I saw, the good picture that I saw. I may not have seen it all. I didn't know there was going to be a pit. I didn't know Potiphar's wife was waiting. I didn't know I was going to be sold by my own brothers that ate with me and drank with me from the same pot. But despite that, I know you meant it for evil because you were foolish. You didn't know better. And that's the truth. People around you will always act according to what they know. So when I see people do some things, crazy things sometimes, I say, they can't act better than they know. But that's not going to determine how I'm going to act. I'm going to act good anyway. If you drive on Lagos Road, you will see them plenty. There are many. Crazy people everywhere. But you don't need to worry like them. You don't need to not go, I saw one that was demonstrating for another one. Okay, God, the road is free now. It's not Grigo. He was just pressing the horn so that guy will see him. As the guy turned to look at him, he told the guy, he was just giving the guy a sign and cursing him. How can you imagine two big men on the road? One was cursing one's mother and the other one was cursing the other one's father. Funny enough, one was carrying his child from the school and the child is in the vehicle. May God help us in Jesus' name. Oh. So we had the likes of Daniel, David, Jeremiah. Imagine David. As you know, go and read it again and you will see. He was not considered at all. When they were looking for a king, he was not considered. Why? The guy was just, he just liked to play. He was just in the field having his time, taking care of the sheep. Until Prophet Samuel said, is there no other one again? Are these all your children? He said, no, one day for backyard. It's always the place. That will not matter. No, it don't matter. No, is it significant? It's not relevant. Say, we'll wait for him. Do you know the kind of person they wait for? Product of grace. Hallelujah. Product of grace. One, choosing of God. He didn't become king immediately. He waited for years. Had to escape death from Saul's hand. You think if David had seen the picture that Saul, that was good, a man of war, would throw his spear at him, David would come out and be showing himself that he wants to be king. So don't bother. When you see things, you know where you're going. You know what you're expecting, and you see the opposite. Don't let it deter you. In fact, you should press on the more in the place of prayer. You should increase your thanksgiving the more. You know why? It's a sign that you are getting close to your miracle. Because the worst thing that can happen to us is you are coming, and you are almost where you're going to. And then you turn from here and go back again all over. God forbid. So when you see things raising their heads, know that I'm almost there. Nothing will stop me. I'm a product of grace. I'm chosen by God. I will stand strong and I will press on. And then intensify your prayer life. Increase your thanksgiving. And before you know it, you are there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even Apostle Paul himself is also in the picture. Despite all, it is Apostle Paul, an ordinary man. Now, ordinary person, snake bite, the snake die. Someone was trying to make fun and said, only God knows the kind of woman that would have been able to marry Apostle Paul. you must be ready. You must be ready because the walk is not a small walk. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Say to yourself, I'm a product of grace. Shall we rise up on our feet? As we begin to talk to God, you can declare, Lord, thank you for your word. I'm a product of grace. I'm a product of grace. Nothing will stop me. Nothing will stop me from reaching my place of destiny. I'll live life fulfilled. I'll live life proving that, yes, I'm chosen of God. I'm called of God. I'm picked by God. I'm blessed by God. He has shown me mercy. He has called me. And I'll follow him all through. I'll follow him all the way. I'm a product of grace. My life will speak of God's grace. My life will speak of God's mercy. When people see me, they will see solution. When people see me, they see solution. They see answers. Answers. They'll see me as a solution, as an answer to their cry. Le grado supre de mande regedosha. Ye kana da da do sana da mandia. Le panda da bo she de brono mondria. Le gada do son de brana manda da do solia. Ela manda baradosa. I'm not a mystic. I'm a product of grace. I'm not a mystic. I'm a product of grace. Le bosha da 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 bosha. Ele brondo sota yamanda da. I am here for a purpose fulfilled life. Le gadosha da da. Ye gado sobre na manda ba da de ya na manda gada dosha. Ye karada do sonde ne yamanda da de ya. Here am I like a bosha da da. Ele brondo sota ya. Lord, use me in my place of work, in my family. Le gadosha da da. Help me to stand out, legadosha, as a product of grace, legadosha, da da, lebranda manta, badadosha, da da ya. In my family, let me stand out as a product of grace, legadosha, da da, mande ya nosa, yega da da dosha. I will not bow to idols. I will not fall for anything. I will stand for you, Lord. I will stand for you, Lord. Like the Hebrew man, I will stand for you. Like Daniel, I will stand for you. Ega badadosha, da da ya. Like Jeremiah, I'll go to the rooftop and I will shout, I'll stand for you. Like David, I will praise you. Like Paul, I will declare your word. Like I'll be a worthy ambassador out there for people to see that yes, this is a product of grace. Hey, la manda Sunday, Alamanda da dosa. I will not be ashamed of the gospel. In a monda brana mante and an eneske yaradosha. In a bonda rabosha da da mayanana. And my life will give you praise. Kabadarado sore yananesha. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow. Here I am to say that you're my hope, you're altogether, Lord, you're altogether.